Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you and we sing that song. We cry out to you and sing Alleluia. You are a mighty God. You are the Prince of Peace. You are exalted. You are awesome God. Blessed be your name. God, we come with song in our hearts as we have even sung to you and praised you this morning. God, we cry out to you. You are our Father, your Lord of our life and of this church. And yet, God, we come to you confessing where we failed you. God, we fail you in so many ways as we walk through this life. And even, God, as we look past this week, we recognize areas that possibly we have failed you in. God, we fail often to trust you when things go on around us. God, we fail to call you Lord when someone challenges us. God, we even fail to proclaim you when someone is searching for you. So, Father, we come to you as your people and we confess that there are many areas where we fail you. And yet, you forgive us, God, when we cry out to you. And so we cry out to you for your forgiveness today. And ask, Lord, that you forgive us where we have failed you. And Lord, we ask that we would be ever mindful of your power, that we can trust you, God. That we'd be ever mindful of your love. It's unconditional, that we may be unconditional with others. God, may we be ever mindful of that you're the God of everything, that every resource is at your disposal, and that we fear nothing when we know you, when we love you, and we trust you. God, we come as your people, and we pray for the health needs among us and the health concerns, God. For Seaver, we pray for him, and we pray for the Scarfa Rubrina families. And God, we pray as well for Nathan. And Lord, we pray that you would restore him to health quickly. And we pray for Clayton and for Doug Cooper and for Henry Neeson and Ruth and Herb and Lori and Connie Williams and Megan. God, you know each situation, you know each individual, you know each need, and you know, Lord, what your will is and purpose is in each one of those lives. And so we pray, God, for your will and purpose to be done there in each situation, that you would use who you need to use, God, to accomplish your will in each person's life. We think, God, even where we're moving as a church, the direction that we're listening to you, and God, we're being obedient. But Father, sometimes we just fail in trusting. And God, we know that as this week unfolds, that there's a lot happening. And Lord, with media releases and with the information center opening, and God, we just want to praise you through all of this. May people see who you are. May people recognize who you are, that you are God, that you are Lord. And we pray that through all this, that you would be glorified. We also, Lord, pray for the Muhammad family. God, we lift them to you. We pray that funding would be approved for them. That, Lord, we would do diligence in order to create this. God, may we not be laxing in our part. We pray that, Lord, your will be done, and that's all we can ask for. That's all we pray for. We also pray that for those suffering from the hurricane down in New Orleans. God, we can't even comprehend what they're walking through right now, but we pray that your will be done, that people would see you, that people would turn to you. God, we are your people, we are your church, and we pray that as we walk through today, that we would just understand you better, that we would trust you completely, and that we would listen and be obedient to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, what a great day. Isn't this a great day? The sun is shining. Whew. It's awesome. I have to tell you, and I don't know if it's me, I'm usually paranoid, but I'll get over it eventually. But look at this. I sit down there, and under the pew is this. It's this note. I want to read it to you. It says, "Look to the light that you came through, a help for frantic fire crews." Does that make sense to you? This is from the youth, right? You had a great time on Friday night, didn't you? And this is a clue. What's the answer? What? The next clue got torn down and crumpled up. Is that right? Who would do a thing like that? Only somebody who cheats. I don't know. Great. Anyway, that was from youth the other night. So it was sitting there, and I had to share that. You guys had a great time, and you also had a great time learning more about God, and I'm excited for you. It's great. I have to share with you a little bit about these gladiolas, because these came from Jill and Agnes Streeton, and they share these with the ill, elderly, and those living in apartments who miss their gardens, okay? But they came in this week, and they shared them, they wanted them shared with First Baptist Church, because they have heard word of the Caleb development, Caleb Village. And they wanted to come by and, as seniors, wanted to recognize all of you and say thank you for caring. They are so excited about what's happening here. And that's where this came from. Now, amen? That's for you. That's for you, because I bless my heart. I get tears when I think about it. Well, it's been a busy week, and I've had lots of fun this week and lots of busy days, and so has all the other staff. And I, the other day, I learned from this couple. They came into my office, and this fella said, he said, I don't know why my wife's so upset. He said, I've been busy, and he said, I came in one day, and I couldn't believe it. He said, she was just demanding. He said, and she demanded that I take her somewhere expensive. And so he said, I listened, and I took her to a gas station. And So I did that this week. I came home and I said to Joan, we're going out. I'm taking you somewhere expensive. And so I took her to a gas station. Didn't work as well, but it's great. We're walking through the Old Testament, looking at Old Testament giants over these next few weeks. And this morning, the man we're going to walk with is a man whom, if you look at him, appears very well-to-do. He can definitely take his wife to someplace expensive. And he's the man the Hebrews call their father. The nation of Israel, the fulfillment of God's plan, really begin with this fine gentleman and his family. He was a committed friend of God. His name is Abraham. The man who could state with trusted assurance, God always does the right thing. Now, I don't know about you, but that's been a question on my mind many times. Many times. Does God always do the right thing? Now, I trust this morning that we together can learn from Abraham the answer to such a question. And I thought how appropriate a question considering what has occurred as of late in our world, in our very world. I mean, there's destruction, peril, famine. We can learn so much from this man called Abraham. He teaches us about God, and he teaches us about God's faithfulness. So the question is, does God always do the right thing, even if the timing is not our time? Even if the timing is not our time. How many of you here love to wait? Okay, now, ladies, you quit elbowing your men, okay? I see you going like this. We aren't really a society that enjoys waiting. We don't. Everything about us is in a hurry. We rush. Like, I was speaking with my mom and dad when they were here last weekend. I said, mom and dad, when the kids were born, we were, like, almost rushed out immediately from the hospital. I mean, it took everything for me. And I had to kind of convince the doctors to keep Joan in, you know, like, so that she could rest, recoup, and, you know. And then I went on and said, you know, mom, when us kids were born, you were in so much longer, weren't you? And she said, well, yeah, but that's because, Devin, you wore everybody out. We needed to recuperate, you know, so I didn't continue. The speed of life leaves skid marks. I mean, you think of it. Scientific information doubles every 12 years. General information doubles every 2.5 years. The half-life of education is getting shorter and shorter. The shelf life of resources is getting narrower and narrower. I mean, I used sour milk the other day, and it wasn't even expired. Only the afterlife is getting longer and longer. Time. When much time passes between when God promises something and when He fulfills it, we often act like small children who can't wait for Christmas because we don't like waiting. And we fear that we've been forgotten. You ever thought you've been forgotten? You ever wondered why you've been forgotten? Time. It's like the couple who had an argument and they were giving each other the silent treatment. I know none of you can relate. They were giving each other the silent treatment and suddenly the man realized that the next day he would need his wife to wake him up at 5 a.m. for an early morning business flight and not wanting to be the first to break the silence and lose the argument. He wrote down on a piece of paper, he wrote, "Please wake me at 5 a.m. And he left it where he knew she would find it. And next morning, the man woke up, and he discovered it was 9 o'clock in the morning. Missed his flight. Oh, he was furious. He was about to go and see why his wife hadn't woke him up, and he noticed there was a piece of paper by his bed, and the paper said, "It's 5 o'clock a.m. Wake up." I got to tell you, men are not equipped for these kind of contests. God may have created man before woman, but there's always a rough draft before the masterpiece. Sorry, guys. Do you ladies agree? No? That was for you. You could applaud that one. We fear that we've been forgotten when we wait. And it's easy to see why Abraham, whose name was Abram before God changed it, became impatient. When God sent him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, he promised him that he would possess the land of Canaan. He would have many descendants and his offspring would become a great nation. The fulfillment of that promise would bring him great joy. And yet think of it. Look at Genesis chapter 12. I just want you to look there. Genesis chapter 12, and I want you to see something. Abrahamic covenant. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country. Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, you think of it. God asks from you to leave your home, your family, and journey where? I'll just start out and I'll tell you. I am sure Abraham thought the way we often think. Does God have the right person? Does God have the right person? What can God do with someone like me? Have you ever asked yourself those questions? Have you ever wondered, why you? I've asked that many times. I cry out to God, why me? And you know how God always responds. Why not you? In fact, I was watching bloopers this past week. It was great. Television bloopers, they're funny. It just shows you that people are human. But it was at the Emmy Awards, and someone had won an Emmy. I can't remember exactly her name, but her name was announced. And the winner is, they announced her name. And all of a sudden, this fella comes walking up, and he accepts the award. He says, I'm her escort, her husband, and she's indisposed at the moment because she didn't think she'd win. She returns, she comes running on the platform, she goes, "I was in the bathroom." And she said, someone came in and said, you've won, hurry up. And I said, are you sure it's me? Well, that's how Abraham felt. That's what he felt. Are you certain you've got the right person, God? Ever asked that? You sure, God, you want me to do this? You sure you've got the right person? But after 10 years, God still hadn't delivered on his promise. And you look at what a decade held for Abraham. You think about it. I've gone through there. He left his family and left his country. God promised to bless him and his descendants. Abraham lived through a famine. He feared Pharaoh. He lied to Pharaoh. He experienced family conflict. He and Lot separated. When Lot was kidnapped, Abraham pursued the kidnapper, fought to rescue him, and he still had no son. After 10 years, many trials, Abraham wanted to know whether the deal was still on. Are you sure, God? And if you jump to Genesis chapter 15, you will see his plea. Yeah, that rhymes. We will see his plea. Genesis 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. And jump down to verse 5. He took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, even after this reassurance from God, Abraham still didn't know what God was up to. In a moment of doubt, he and Sarah tried to take things into their own hands by producing a son through Sarah's maidservant. But God's ways and his sense of time are not like ours. Even though it may seem like a long time to us, God always does what is right and he always comes through. In fact, I received, oh boy, probably would have been a few years ago from Harold Corbett, Mandy's dad, who led our worship today. Isn't it nice to be known as the daughter of Harold Corbett, Mandy? But Harold Corbett gave me an original, not an original, but a copy of the original version of the vision of this church from 1978. Top of the list was a vibrant senior center. 27 years later, here we are. God always does what is right, and he always comes through, even though it may seem like a long time to us. He always answers. And I know you heard Inga Moore last week. You heard her get up and proclaim that. This has been a vision of this church for years. And God has answered. God always does the right thing, even if the timing is not our timing. God always does the right thing, even if the timing is not our timing. Well, there's another question that we have to ask. Does God do the right thing, even if what he says seems illogical? Does God do the right thing even if what he says seems illogical? You know, when God told Abraham and Sarah, I will certainly return to you according... Look at Genesis 18. Jump over there. See, we're doing a travel today. They're fanning these Bibles. Genesis chapter 18, look at verse 10. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah laughed. She did. You all jumped on that. That was great. See, if you look at verse 12, so Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master's old, will I now have this pleasure? She soon denied that she had laughed. She had good reason to. I mean, she had good reason to laugh because she was 89 years old. Can you imagine what that would be like explaining that to your Christian friends? Why did God wait so long to fulfill the promise? Do you find it difficult to obey God when his way seems absurd? In fact, are there areas right now that you struggle understanding God's plan? Have you ever questioned why it took so long for God to fulfill a promise? That's where Abraham was at. Abraham shares the story. His wife laughs. She's 89. How absurd is that? Why would God wait so long to fulfill this promise? The answer is that God wanted Abraham's total trust. And that only comes through tests. You think about your own life. You think about an area, a struggle, an issue that you're walking through or have walked through. You think of the growth that took place in your life. You think about how when walking through such a struggle, you wondered about God. You think about the private conversations, the angry tone, the tears you shed while you talk to God. You think about where you are at today, where you're sitting now in your relationship with God. Walking through the absurd takes us to a deeper level of trust with God. That's truly amazing. God wants our total trust. He wants us to just remove any of our selfishness, our behavioral tendency. God simply wants us. He wants our trust. Are you trusting God today with your deepest issue? Are you praying and letting Him walk you to the next level in your journey? God fulfilled His promise. Next year, Sarah bore Isaac, even though it seemed impossible. Our minds cannot conceive all the things God's capable of doing. And the words of the Lord to Abraham best sum up his ability. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You look at those words. You drink those words in. Can God do anything? We cannot. We cannot. We're so limited. God is not limited. He has every resource at His disposal. What a tremendous Lord. Amen? Just seeing if you're here. Do you think He can walk us through the plan of First Baptist Church, Prince Albert? Yeah. Do you believe that? Yeah. Oh, you believe it? Yeah. I mean, you think of this, a seniors' residence, new church facility. I mean, all this stuff is so large. Don't think that I haven't questioned God about the absurdity of it all, because I have. You sure you got the right person, God? Let me tell you, God always does the right thing. Even if the timing is not our timing, even though what He says seems absurd, illogical. But the third question, does God always do the right thing, even if we question Him? I'm going to ask a personal question. Have you ever questioned God? Have you ever wondered about His character? I'm certain that Abraham questioned God many times. You think of it. Lord tells him that He's going to destroy the city of Sodom, home of his nephew Lot. Don't you think you'd worry? If you knew ahead of time, by the way, I'm going to destroy New Orleans. Wouldn't you go, oh, okay, yeah, it's fine. All right, let's let it go. Prince Albert is going to be demolished. Oh, all right. Is my house going to be? Wouldn't you question God? Wouldn't you wonder, how could God do such a thing? Abraham questioned Him. The story of Lot reminds me of a great story. I got to tell you this. Cute little story, little Johnny story. Sunday school teacher was describing how Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Little Johnny interrupted. He said, my mommy looked back once while she was driving. She turned into a telephone pole. Some of you can relate to that. Genesis 18, look at verse 23 of Genesis 18, where Abraham approached Him. Abraham boldly goes before God and he said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And then Abraham began doing what we all do, negotiating, asking God to spare the city for 50 righteous people, then 45. Well, how about 40? Let's go down to 30. 20? Okay, let's go to 10. I'll give you 10. He wouldn't let it go. He just wouldn't let it go. Is there something that you're holding on to today? Is there something that you're holding on today and just won't let go? Well, this morning, is there something that you just maybe can't get over? Maybe it's the New Orleans tragedy, maybe even your financial burden, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your singleness, maybe even concerns about maybe your job. Let me tell you, talk to God about it. Come to Him with your questions. Because God is righteous as well as right. He honored Abraham's request. He saved the few righteous people who lived in Sodom. And He destroyed the depraved city. And in the end, Abraham provided the answer to his own questions when he observed, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" God is a righteous judge. Just as He preserved the innocent in Sodom, He will take care of you. He will. God always does the right thing. Even if the timing is not our timing, even though what He says seems illogical, even if we question Him, God always does the right thing. But does God always do the right thing, even if we do not comprehend what He's doing? Here comes the greatest test for Abraham. The greatest test of Abraham's trust in God. I mean, Abraham's walked many miles in his sandals. He has journeyed through the impatience. He's walked through absurdity to the point where he's questioned God, what's going on. And now comes the greatest challenge when God asks him to sacrifice his beloved son, Isaac. I don't know about you, but I cannot imagine the feeling. You recall with me how absurd the scene when God told Abraham that Sarah will have a son? That sounded absurd. Why would God want Abraham to kill his son of promise? It didn't make sense. It appeared to go against God's promise to make Abraham's descendants into a great nation. What's going on here? But the amazing thing about this, by this time, Abraham didn't question or doubt God. He simply got up early the next morning to do what he'd been asked. That's the maturity we reach in trusting God. After many years of coming and asking questions, negotiating with God, reacting to God's direction, Abraham finally sought to be obedient. He'd learned the secret of walking with God. Trust and obey. Oh, we sing it. We sing that hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. Do we believe it? God had been faithful to every promise He had made. So Abraham trusted God's character. He finally understood that we should not try to understand God and His ways until we first obey God. Someday may I be like Abraham. It reminds me of visiting this kindly couple. They married for over 60 years. And they spoke about the relationship. I just sat at their feet and I learned. I took notes. I know sometime it will help. But he spoke.
She likes marmalade.
And she said,
he likes blueberry jelly.
She loves beautiful violets.
He likes to read. He's got a passion for it. Look at all our books.
And they just kept going on and on, and they spoke about each other. Neither of them said a word about themselves. They spoke about how they've been through good times and they've been through bad together, and that they'd faced tragedy and trials, and they know and they trust each other's character. That's very similar to the relationship between God and Abraham. Isn't it interesting that God often calls us to give up the very thing that gets in the way of our relationship with Him? And I recognize that sometimes that's even our ministry. Gets in the way of our relationship with God. We try to, I'm doing this for you, God. And He said, wait a minute, I just want you. God does anything and everything for us in order to shape us into the godly people we need to be. Yet so often we're very hard on ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. But look closely at this Old Testament giant of faith, because he leaves us with two important truths. These two important truths. I want you to get these. Anything else, walk away with these, all right? First of all, being perfect is not a prerequisite for God to work in our lives. Remember, Abraham questioned God many times. Does God have the right person? Is this really supposed to be me doing this? I often have those same questions. You got to understand, I'm not this person to walk us through all this stuff. That's how I feel. I really feel that way. I've had those questions. Are you sure, God? Come on. Yeah. I've questioned God. Even after Abraham obeyed God's call, he still made many mistakes. You aren't perfect either, but that's not important. This is what matters. When you walk with God, your character becomes more like God's. That's what happens. So being perfect is not a prerequisite for God to work in our lives. Secondly, blessings are never earned, they're given. Don't you like that? Abraham did nothing to merit God's call in his life. He didn't deserve the promise of the land or many descendants or the grace and the favor of God. He didn't deserve any of that. They were all gifts given. This all became clear when God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And so Abraham laid him on the altar in obedience. God gave him everything. And just as easily, God was free to take that everything away. And as you know, the rest of the story, God did not require Abraham to take Isaac's life. It was just a little trust-building exercise. Likewise, we are given blessings many times over. Yet God can remove his blessing just as easy. I need to tell you that through everything, we need to be grateful to God. No matter what happens, we must always trust God. Amen? Does God do the right thing? He always does. We learn this from Abraham, yet we also learn this daily in our own lives. When the moments are trying, when our very selves seem depleted, when we feel like life is turning drastically worse, God always takes his loving hand and gently lifts us to himself. And he breathes a fresh wind into our very soul and gives us what we need to carry on. Sometimes we don't know how, but he always does. When we trust God, he can make the ordinary extraordinary. Yet Abraham had to journey through impatience with God's timing, absurdity to God's direction, and even questioned God's authority. Such elements we walk through in our own journey of faith every day so that we too can understand that God always does the right thing. Let's pray. I don't know what today you're walking through. Maybe it's the whole development. Maybe it's just something personal in your own life. Maybe it's just you're searching and you haven't found what you're searching for. Let me tell you today that God is faithful. Let me tell you that he does reign. Let me tell you that he always does what is right. Even though we can't understand it, and even though we can't always comprehend it, and even though it seems illogical at times, God always does the right thing. Today, trust in him completely. Believe him completely. Surrender to him completely. Father, we don't understand sometimes why we walk through the things we walk through. We don't understand sometimes why you even choose us to walk through some things. God, we look at time and it seems so hard, and sometimes we get impatient, God. Or we look at logic and we say that everything seems illogical. Sometimes we think it's absurd what you ask us to do. Lord, we even question you sometimes. But Father, even though we can't comprehend why you do what you do, we trust in you completely. Because we know and we have seen time and time again that what you do is always right. So God, today as your church, again, we renew our complete faith and trust in you as your people. We don't know how everything is going to be accomplished, God, but we ask that you use us to accomplish it. Because we believe you, God. We believe you. And we trust you. And we'll obey you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.